From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Obama administration's decision to swap five Taliban officials held at Guantanamo for Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl sparked criticism that the men may rejoin their comrades. NPR's Dana Temple-Raston reports on new suspicions that one of those detainees may be trying to do just that.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest was quick to say that none of the men had returned to the battlefield.
Right now, these individuals are in Qatar. And they are subjected to monitoring and mitigation measures that ensures that we're limiting their activities and doing so in a way that protects the national security interests of the United States.
The U.S. has been secretly intercepting and monitoring all of the men's communications and are now concerned about one individual in particular. And officials say the monitoring was what suggested that there may have been some illegal contact. They would not say exactly what that contact was. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
Moving overseas to southern Pakistan, where thousands turned out today for the funeral of those killed in yesterday's bombing of a Shiite mosque. At least 59 people died in the blast, including three who died of their wounds today. A Sunni militant group claimed responsibility. Testimony began this week in the trial of a man accused of killing a six-year-old New York City boy in 1979. Prosecutors claim Pedro Hernandez confessed, but the defense says Hernandez is mentally ill. NPR's Joel Rolls reports a decades-old case has had far-reaching effects.
In her opening statement, the prosecutor described Eitan Peitz as a tiny man with a big heart who disappeared on the first day he was allowed to walk alone to the bus stop. The six-year-old's body was never found. Prosecutors say Pedro Hernandez confessed to strangling Peitz and throwing his body in the trash, but Hernandez's lawyer says that is a false confession. He argues that Hernandez has a history of mental illness and cannot distinguish between what is real and what is not. Peitz was one of the first children to have his picture on a carton of milk. His disappearance changed the way parents across the country protected their children. The trial could last up to 3 months. Joel Rose, NPR News, New York.
The Canadian government wants to beef up the country's anti-terror laws. Dan Karpinchuk reports on new proposals that would expand powers for the country's law enforcement and spy agencies.
The boost to the Canadian Security Intelligence Service would include more power to derail a suspected extremist's travel plans, disrupt bank transactions, and secretly interfere with radical websites. Under the proposed law, police would be able to hold a suspect in custody for a longer period. It would also allow a judge to order the removal of terrorist propaganda from the internet, and it would make it a criminal offense to encourage a terrorist attack on Canada. The proposed law comes in the wake of two extremist attacks against Canadian military personnel in Canada in October. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
This is NPR. German Chancellor Angela Merkel says Berlin wants Greece to remain in the eurozone, but she's ruling out more debt forgiveness. In a newspaper interview published today, she said private creditors have already forgiven Greece billions of euros. Greece elected a new government last weekend that pledges to seek relief for the demands it agreed to in exchange for international rescue loans. Serena Williams is the Australian Open women's tennis champion for the sixth time. Williams won the title today in two sets over Maria Sharapova. It's her 19th Grand Slam tennis title, and with today's victory, she surpasses Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert in Grand Slam wins. The men's championship on the line tomorrow. Novak Djokovic will play Andy Murray for the title. Djokovic is chasing a record fifth Australian Open championship, and Stuart Cohen reports he made it into the final with a victory over the defending champion Stan Wawrinka.
The last two times Stan Wawrinka and four-time champion Novak Djokovic faced each other at the Australian Open, it turned into a five-set marathon. And this match was no different. Djokovic jumped out to an early lead, taking the first set, but the usually inexhaustible Serb was clearly lacking energy, and Wawrinka was able to take things to two sets all before his errors got the better of him and Djokovic took the deciding fifth set 6-love. Djokovic admits he was struggling in the match.
The level of performance was not where I wanted it to be. But nothing that will worry me. You know, I'm sure that I'll be fit and ready for finals.
Djokovic will face Britain's Andy Murray in Sunday's final. They've met in the finals two times before, and Djokovic has won both of them. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.